You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
The following extracts are perfectly genuine and are taken from actual letters sent to the DHSS. Although some of them are crude, they are written in good faith by the senders. Our lavatory seat is broken in half and is now in three pieces. Can you please tell me when our repairs are going to be done, as my wife is about to become an expectant mother? The toilet is blocked and we can't bath the children until it's cleared. Dear, oh dear. Will you please send someone to mend our broken path, as my wife tripped and fell on it and she's now pregnant? Our kitchen floor is very damp, and we have two children, and we would like a third. So please, can you send someone round to do something about it? Mrs. Smith has no clothes and has had none for over a year. The clergy have been visiting her. I'm pleased to inform you that my husband, who was reported missing, is dead. Mrs. Adams has asked me to collect her money as she's going in to the hospital to have her overtures out. Unless I get my husband's maintenance money soon, I shall be obliged to live an immortal life. The children have been off school because there's a lot of measles about, and I had them humanized. Mrs. Brown only thinks she's ill, but believe you me, she's nothing but a hypodermic. In accordance with your instructions, I've given birth to twins in the enclosed envelope. I want my sick pay. I've been in bed under the doctor for a week, and he's doing me no good. If things don't improve, I'm going to get another doctor. Milk is wanted for my baby, and the father is unable to supply it. I am annoyed, very annoyed, to find you have branded my son illiterate. This is a lie, as I married his father a week before he was born. Well, there you are. Morning, I want to talk to you about breakthrough. And we're going to look at Joshua chapter 5 and 6. We'll read it from here. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Joshua then fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March round the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets, ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march round the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets." The police, that would have been interesting. When you hear the sound, a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Have the seven priests carry the trumpets in front of it. We'll leave it there. May refer to a later bit of the story. The children of Israel were on a high. They had just crossed over into the promised land. It's pretty good, wouldn't you say? 40 years they'd been wandering around, and then suddenly they're in the promised land. But then the next challenge comes. And in my experience, in my Christian experience, and I'm sure some of yours, the next challenge is never that far away, is it? We get through one challenge and then God gives us another one. And they were in a great place, and then suddenly they're confronted with Jericho, which was a fortified city. Now, I did a little bit of research about Jericho. Quite interesting, the walls were 30 feet high. 30 feet is about the height of my home. And if you know my home, it's pretty high. It goes up pretty high. The walls were made of 4-inch bricks. And there was one wall inside another wall. Okay, so it wasn't just one wall. They'd done excavation of this, and it's been historically proven. It was about an 8-acre site enclosed inside these walls. I've been studying the Word of God for a long time, and I noticed something new this time about this story. Do you realize that Joshua was the only one who had the whole picture? And I've read this several times to check on this, but Joshua was the only one who got the instructions to march around the city once a day for 6 days and then 7 times on the last day. He didn't pass on all the details to the children of Israel. Now, he knew what God had said to him, as we read there. It was clearly laid out. But the children of Israel didn't know. I don't know about you, but I like to know details. I'm just being honest. When I was a lot younger, I used to work in the science world. That's where my qualifications are. And I like to break things down. I like to know how things work. I like to know how things come together. That's just part of who I am. I think a lot of us like to know the details. I do. But sometimes God will give us a word. This is going to happen. But he doesn't give us the details. Does this sound right? I remember preaching beginning of last year about change. And I remember praying, seeking God, and I really felt clear that change was coming for me. And then I decided to try and work out how that change was going to come about myself. And so I wanted a few details. I remember talking it through with John about different areas of my life which I felt needed change and all the rest of it. But all God had said to me was, there's change coming. Are you with me? I wanted to know how that change was going to come about. I wanted to know every single detail. God said, no, you don't need to know. You trust me, I'll bring it about. I have some news for you this morning, which I've not shared with anyone else in this church, even though I've seen a few of you recently. The rotor has changed at work. What Well, I'm glad someone's reacting. From April, I am working on a new rota. Now, that doesn't mean you'll see me in church every single week. But what it does mean is that I will be here. The way the rota works out, I'll be here on a more regular basis than I am currently. That is excellent. Now, I didn't know that was going to work out. I came about with this new rota for work, and it's been taking forever to sort out. And recently we had the vote, and I got 100% vote on my rota. I was just so pleased. And I just praise God for that. But if I look back on the year, I would have thought, oh, I didn't think change was coming that way. I had all sorts of ideas. Different job in the hospital, maybe different hours. God knows what he's doing, friends. I didn't know the details, he did. There's a saying, I mentioned it when I was with Dave the other night, the devil is in the detail. And, you know, when you sign a legal document or an insurance document, I always remember my dad saying to me, before you sign something, son, always read the small print. Always read the small print. Because it's there that you can get caught out. It's not like that with God, friends. If God says something, he'll bring it about. And it may not be the way we think he's going to bring things about. For the people of Israel, this was a test of trust and obedience. They were used to walking around, friends. Believe you me, they've been doing it for 40 years. And their track record wasn't exactly great. They moaned about Moses. They moaned about the provisions. They moaned so much that they did their own thing on many occasions. And what's hard is sometimes there are no visible signs of change. And that is hard. When you can't see anything happening. You've had a word from God. God has spoken to you. And you feel, yes, this is it. And you just want, sometimes I just say, God, just a little sign, please. I would love a little sign. But we have to trust him. It's about being persistent. And I want to say something to the church here. Been praying for a long, long time about our own building. Been praying a long, long time about the land. We've had some ups and downs, a lot of downs, let's be honest. And I've been involved, although I haven't been living here that long, I've been involved in the journey from right back when. We would like it to have been over in a few weeks, wouldn't we? But it's years, friends. It's true. It's years since Bob looked out of his window and saw the land opposite and thought, this is it, and went for it. Who remembers the tin shack in Castor Road? I remember preaching there the first time I came down. What it's about, friends, is persistence. God has said something, he'll bring it about. I want to read this story to you. An apocryphal story emerged from World War II about a meeting between Hitler, Mussolini, and Churchill in 1940. They met for tea in Paris by a famous pond full of carp. Hitler claimed he had won the war, and he was backed up by Mussolini. Churchill defied him. Realising that the meeting wouldn't progress very far, Churchill decided to resort to a wager. He suggested the first person to catch a carp without using fishing equipment would be the winner of the war. Hitler pulled out his revolver and shot at the fish, but he missed. Mussolini jumped in and tried with his bare hands to catch one, but he failed. Churchill got out a spoon and started tossing water over his shoulder. When asked why, he replied, "It will take a very long time, but we're going to win." I went recently to see the film The Darkest Hour, which is a film about Winston Churchill and about World War II. I'm very careful with recommending films from the front. I would recommend it. It's a very, very good film. The acting in it is superb. I believe Gary Oldman has been nominated for an Oscar for his performance, and rightly so when you watch the film. But this whole thing is about building faith and expectancy levels. And Churchill, I know we don't know whether that story's true or not. I'd like to think it was, but probably it may not be. But it was what comes through in the film is Churchill's persistence. He will not lay down. He will not give in to what everybody else is saying to him. And sometimes we have to be persistent. Sometimes we know God has spoken to us, but it's not there. We're not seeing the signs. It's difficult. We're going through some stuff. But we have to keep going. We have to keep walking. There's that phrase, keep walking. Keep walking on the pathway. I believe there are two sorts of people here this morning. I think there are those who are walking round the walls, waiting for the walls to collapse, waiting for there to be a breakthrough. But I also think there are one or two people who are stuck inside the walls, waiting to break out. Rahab was someone who was stuck inside. She'd hidden the spies. Because of that, they said that her family and her would be saved if they put the scarlet cord in the window. We know the story. I just think this is a remarkable thing. Biblical names are quite popular these days for children. Okay? They are. Biblical names, people call their children by biblical names. I've not heard, I'll possibly be corrected by someone. I do not know anyone who's been called Rahab. Does anyone in here know of anyone who's been called Rahab? Well, I rest my case. Rahab was stuck inside. She had no direction and she was going nowhere fast. And she herself let herself be used to please other people. So what happened to Rahab? Here's the remarkable thing. Rahab became the great-great-grandmother of King David. And of course we know that from there, we're talking about the line of Christ. Do not think, any of you, that God has abandoned you and cannot use you. Don't think it. Think about Rahab. She was used and abused by so many people, but God had a plan for her. And God was going to rescue her. And she's in the middle of this city that was going around the walls. She was enclosed, but God one day broke through. And if that's you, that's coming. God can use you. Then we've got the people who are walking round and round and round in circles. Literally. Who feels they're walking round and round in circles? Who's been in that place in their life where you've got a situation and it's perpetually going on and on? Might be a health issue. Could be a mental issue. Could be anything or anything, but we're walking around and we're expecting God to change and we're expecting God to do something. And some of us want to quit. Oh, we don't like that word. I'm just being honest with you. There's times when I've wanted to quit. I just think, God, I cannot say, I know what you've said. It's just so long ago, I can't see what you're going to do. Can't see the change coming. How do we know we're not on lap 6 of 7? Hey? We don't know, friends. We'd like to know. We'd all like to be in Joshua's shoes because he knew. But the rest of them didn't know. Don't quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, and care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out. Silver tint of clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. One of the quotes from the films I mentioned, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. I'll read that again. Success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. That was a quote from Winston Churchill. Churchill was voted the greatest Briton in one of the polls they had on the television with a program. And he certainly, friends, was a remarkable man who was in the position at the right time for this nation and this country. He was a fantastic motivator. You listened to his speeches. Incredible. He was the right man for the time. But he was a man. And in fact, if you know anything about Churchill, he wasn't a very good prime minister after the war. God puts people in positions in certain times because he's got a plan. That man was persistent. He didn't want to give in, didn't want to quit. The odds were incredibly stacked against him. We were losing the war, but he wouldn't quit. He persisted in motivating the people. I've said enough this morning. I just feel that's it. But I know there are two sorts of people in here. I know there are those who are walking round and round in circles. And some of you are thinking of quitting. Don't quit. You could be on lap 6, lap 7 on the final day. You could be right there. And then there are those of you, one or two, I don't think as many, but there are some who I think have got themselves, if you like, into a right mess. Rahab was a mess. She'd been used and abused by people. And God had a plan for her. And if you're one of those people, I tell you, the walls can come down today and you can be walking right in the centre of what God wants for your life.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.